We're joined today by David King, who is the relatively new deputy director for the Center for Law and Justice. And I had been struck a couple of weeks ago by the Attorney General and other law enforcement officials announcing that they had really made a major breakthrough in the fight against drugs and guns and weapons in the Capitol District by arresting, 50 people. And then earlier this week, Governor Cuomo launched unprecedented executive order to set up a task force or take emergency action to deal with the what he calls the increase in incidents of gun violence. But I've also seen posts that this is sort of more of the same. So I wanted to welcome David. David, maybe just give, we have Center for Law and Justice on previously, but what is the Center for Law and Justice? And is this something that, these two events, are these really transformative or is this political posturing?
Yes, the Center for Law and Justice is a social justice organization formed in the South End by Alice Green in the 1980s. And it's been doing work serving the citizens of the South End and advocating for social justice and criminal justice for 3 decades now. And the center has addressed this issue previously. It's something that I've seen happen in the city, starting back during the beginning of my career as a journalist in 2006. And it's an issue that the center actually issued a study on in 2012 called What Have We Done? Mass Incarceration and the Targeting of Albany's Black Males by Federal, State, and Local Authorities. We see this kind of raid fueled by RICO and similar statutes pretty regularly here. So I don't think this is something new, and I don't think there's any way that officials could call this transformative or even perhaps helpful in reducing gun violence, given that we've seen a number of shootings post these arrests.
And, of course, the people who were, recently arrested, overwhelmingly young people of color. And, I also hear one of the complaints that these sort of, made for TV, made for media roundups, basically gets the, lower level drug dealers, which you could largely get by driving down, various urban streets, rather than really going after the people who are sort of really bankrolling and orchestrating the operations. It sort of basically gets the foot soldiers and not the generals.
Yeah, I mean, you see these folks facing quite a lot of time under these RICO statutes that allow them to go after folks for associating, but not for any particular crime other than associating. So the bar is very low for a conviction, and a lot of these folks settle. They come to a deal that still puts them in jail for 10 years or so. And, one of these raids that the center looked at, looked at essentially young African American men in the city, due to one of these raids in 2012, were facing 600 years in prison total for nonviolent offenses. And that's a lot of young men in the neighborhood, in this community, who are taken away, destroyed families, basically because to get these easy, I don't want to easy arrest, but basically to have these numbers go up and to allow these officials to stand together. I was struck that all of our local officials, whether it's the mayor of Albany, the county exec, and our state legislators, all stood at this press conference very proudly. And I'm concerned by that. I think it's concerning given that we're in this period where gun violence is endemic across the nation. And I think part of that obviously can be contributed to the fact that COVID, the pandemic, shut everything down and gave these kids nothing to do. It wasn't safe for them to go to the places they normally would. Some of them don't have safe homes to go to, and they're left with this sense of hopelessness. So I think rather than arresting people, there are real issues here that need to be addressed. And they can keep arresting young Black men in droves year after year, but it will not change anything. And all it will do is lead to more harm to the community.
Now, when Governor Cuomo came out with his announcement of an executive order, he did talk both about short-term, approaches, but also long-term, which included, things like housing and jobs and medical care, I believe. employment, hopefully. You know, if the governor really was serious about trying to deal with what he calls the violence or, you know, rising crime rates, so historically still at very low levels, you know, what would be some of the solutions that he should be advancing?
Well, you know, look, the governor's mansion, the state legislature, the mayor's office are all on the line there where they can see Arbor Hill. And they've been able to see it for, and they, you know, they're in the South End. They can see these communities that have been, I think it's like the TU pointed out recently in some great reporting that, you know, these places have been redlined. They've been intentionally destroyed. These communities that lack funding, that lack programs to support youth, lack jobs, don't even have basic grocery stores. There's so much that can be done in terms of building up these communities, dealing with economic justice, dealing with food insecurity, giving these communities after school programs. I mean, these things exist, and there's great programs in Albany, but they need more funding. There needs to be a real serious effort to create structures in the community that will uplift people and give them a sense of hope. Because, you know, I think anyone who is in Albany and lived in Albany for years sees that these kids struggle to find things to do after school. And there are some programs, but there's limited slots and there's not a lot of intervention. People are doing the best they can with what they can, but if the governor was serious, I think he would start trying to address more of these systemic issues and boost groups that are doing work on the ground.
I just had an interview a couple of days ago with Laura Travison from the South End Improvement Corporation. And so there's, you know, the city's getting, I think, somewhere, city of Albany getting somewhere over $80 million in federal stimulus. Big push to get at least $20 million of that dedicated to neighborhood revitalization, but particularly housing in the South End and West Hill and Arbor Hill. This seems like it could be a really good opportunity with this influx of federal, you know, COVID relief funds to actually Albany to try sort of a different approach.
Yes. You know, I think what we need to think about here is not, you know, there's going to be a push to say there needs to be equity across every neighborhood and every neighborhood in Albany needs to have a voice in this. And it might be a little controversial, but frankly, I think that isn't necessarily true. The neighborhoods that need to have the say are the ones that have been most hurt, the most damaged. We've seen the report recently in the Times Union from, I believe it was the University of Albany, that COVID has drastically impacted people of color and Black communities, minority communities, much more than white communities. So I think the resources need to go where they will do the most good, where the most harm needs to be repaired. And that means funding programs that are transformative, not necessarily just handing the money over to developers, but giving it to programs that'll be long lasting and right some of these historical wrongs, including you know, redlining, as we talked about, and you know, and also look at more how those funds can go into criminal justice reforms. To divert folks from prison, the young folks in Albany from having to spend great deals of time in prison, and instead getting them back on track to live, you know, lives rather than just tossing them aside as a statistic.
We've been talking with David King, Deputy Director of Center for Law and Justice. You know, David, you want to give us your website, and also quickly, I know you guys have been pushing for a ban on tear gas and I believe some type of commission. Any progress to the city of Albany in that in the last 20 seconds?
You know, we're really hopeful that the council will take, the council members will really consider how this impacted our neighborhoods. I think we've seen that so many people, whether they are at protests or not, face tear gas in their homes, in the streets, and they don't want to live with that fear. So I hope the council will consider what that really means to the residents and realize this isn't just an activist hot topic, but really a concern of people like me who live in these neighborhoods who don't want to feel like the police are going to resort to this kind of thing. And yes, so we're very hopeful. Our website is cflj.org.
Thank you very much, David King. This was Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network.